I'm going to do something this morning that I have never, ever done in all the years I've been in ministry. And at the end of the service, you might be saying, well, I wish you hadn't bothered. I'm going to preach a sermon from the book of Zephaniah. Little book tucked away at the end of the Old Testament. And a verse from Zephaniah hit me a few weeks ago. If you read the Times newspaper, there is every day a verse from the Bible. And a few weeks ago, it was from Zephaniah. And I read it and I thought, this is a gem. And the verse that I read it in context in a few moments, but the verse I read was this: the Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. And that sort of hit me, that the fact that God rejoices over us with gladness. And it's coming from an Old Testament prophet who was supposed to be all fire and brimstone and all of that. This is just something so tender. So I'm going to read the passage. It's in Zephaniah chapter 3 from verse 8. If you've got a Bible and you can't find it, don't worry. The easiest way to do it is to find the beginning of the New Testament and just go back a few pages and it will be there. You don't get any special rewards in heaven for knowing exactly where every book in the Bible is. We have indexes to help us. But this is Zephaniah chapter 3. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, for the day when I arise as a witness. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, all the heat of my anger, and in the fire of my passion. At that time I will change the speech of peoples to a pure speech, that they may call on the name of the Lord and serve him with one accord. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, my scattered ones, shall bring my offering. On that day you shall not be put to shame because of all the deeds by which you have rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, exultant ones. For I will leave in the midst of you a people humble and lowly. They shall seek refuge in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel, they shall do no wrong and utter no lies, nor shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all my heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing, as on the day of a festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. Amen. And he ends, at that time I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised before your eyes, says the Lord. And so I turn to Zephaniah, and I guess this isn't a book that many of us turn to. If you just need a bit of encouragement in your Christian faith, and you want to read something that you think is going to be good and helpful, you might turn to a gospel. You might turn to Ephesians. You might turn to Colossians. Probably not to one of the minor prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, we have minor prophets and we have major prophets. And the difference is the minor prophets didn't take as long to say what they had to say as the major prophets took to say what they had to say. And there are 12 minor prophets. There are really four major prophets in the Old Testament. Let's have a bit of a quiz. So what are the four major prophets in the Old Testament? Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel. No. And the one that catches out, because sometimes it fits in and sometimes it is the book of Daniel. Because technically it's not a prophecy in the terms that others are, it's more apocalyptic. But it gets called in that. So they're the major prophets. Now what about the minor prophets? Let's have a go. Can anybody name any of the 12 minor? There's no prizes. It's just, there's no shame for not knowing what they are. But any. Habakkuk. Yes. Micah. Hosea, Malachi, Amos, Zephaniah. Zephaniah, that's five.
Six.
Oh, yes. I didn't do maths. Well, Amos, what the full list? Hosea, Amos, Joel, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, and Zephaniah. 12 minor prophets, all writing their books, 6th century BC, well certainly that was a case for Zephaniah, writing in an age, a culture, a people that's very different to where we are today. And yet the Bible tells us that all scripture is God-inspired and is useful for us to read, for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. And you never know, one day you might just dig into it. Well, let's have a look at this minor prophet. Take it slowly. Take it a couple of verses at a time. Understand that you won't be able to pronounce some of the names. It's a situation very different. But sometimes even through that, God is able to speak to us through the unfamiliar and bring us a message of his love. And if you want a little bit of help, Google can be quite useful. There's some wacky stuff on there, but there's some good stuff that just helps you to have a little bit of an understanding. So who was this prophet Zephaniah? Well, his name simply means the Lord has hidden, or the Lord has caused to be hidden. And the opening verse tells us a little bit about him. The word of the Lord came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, not Cushti as in Del Boy, but Cushi, that's sort of going down towards Ethiopia, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of King Josiah, son of Amon of Judah. And that's how they introduce people. A bit like a teacher in a school will say, I've got Johnny in this class, and his brother is in the class to come, and his big sister left school last year, and his younger brother is coming in next year, and his mum works round the corner, and his dad works there. That's how we do it today to identify people, and it's exactly how they did it there. So that was the prophet, lived about the time of Jeremiah, before the Babylonian captivity, and somebody who's given a message to bring to the people. He was a prophet. What do prophets do? Prophets call people back to God. Yes, they can pronounce judgment on nations in the Old Testament, but they were sent by God to God's people to say to God's people, come back. Come back. Stop doing what you're doing and come back to me. Come back to your first love. And you know, just as in the days of Zephaniah, we as God's people can find ourselves just drifting away from God imperceptibly, finding it becomes distant in our lives. One of the programs that we watch in our house, because my wife likes it, is Saving Lives at Sea. And I say we watch it because she usually watches it and I often sleep all the way through it. But as people have watched Saving Lives at Sea, this is where the Coast Guards, the lifeboats, it's filming them going out to rescue people. And there's been a few times when people have been rescued from lilos. When they've gotten a lilo and they're just sort of laying, enjoying the sun a few meters off the shore, and they maybe just drift off to sleep, or they don't realize what's happening until they look and they think, gosh, I'm a long way out. And they get caught in a tide, and the tide starts to take them out, and no matter what they do, they cannot get back into the shore. And so somebody calls the lifeboats go out, and they go and get them. Now, did the person who went out on that dinghy expect to be rescued by the lifeboats? Not at all. Did they think that they were going to be in danger, in difficulty? Not at all. If they went out thinking that they would drift away from shore, would they have gone? Probably not. Or they would have taken safety. Or they would have had a bit of rope and somebody holding onto the rope so they could pull them back in. But they just drifted away from the shore. And I think Zephaniah and the other prophets come and they're saying to God's people, look, folks, you've drifted. You'd have allowed things to happen. You didn't particularly turn your back and walk away from God, but life's circumstances, the busyness of life, other things creeping in, you have drifted away from God. And so Zephaniah comes with this message saying, remember the covenant. Remember the faith that you've got in God. Come back home. Come back home. And that's the message that he's got for his people then. And I just sense it might be a message for us today. Come back to God. Stop drifting. Return to your first love. So that's the times and that's the message that God was giving through the prophet Zephaniah, to come back. And they'd drifted. And one of the things that they were doing, they were starting to worship other gods. Instead of worshipping the living God, they were worshipping different gods. And one of them was a god called Milcom, who was not really a god at all. But they were following after him. They created images. They were worshipping him. And in a previous generation, Moses has said to the people, in telling them about how great God was, he was saying, what other nation has a God so near to us as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? He's very near. He's not far away. So when the people were being called to come back to God, they didn't have to go out on a search and a hunt for him. Zephaniah, Moses were saying, come back. God is so near to you. Come home. Come back to the God who loves you. Faithfulness to God is not really an option. It's the one thing that we must do. And you know, sometimes when people have done wrong, I can remember as a kid in days when you used to go out to play and you'd left home because things had not been right at home. You're sort of dreading coming home, thinking, what are you going to find? What punishment is going to be meted out for you? How many nights are you going to be banned from going out playing football with your mates or cricket in the summer? And so I come home thinking, well, what is going to be said? And sometimes you have that feeling with God that we've drifted away. And if we're going to come back, it's going to be too hard. It's going to be too difficult. But that's not the case. Zephaniah says, God's with you. God's close to you. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will rejoice over you with loud singing. That's the picture of God that I want to give to you today. That of the living God who loves you, the living God who cares for you, and the living God who says to you, come home. Come home. Stop drifting away from me. The only way to live is to live in a close relationship with God. So while you're thinking it's hard to come back because I've drifted so far away, what am I going to say? How is it going to happen? God's rejoicing over you already. He just wants you to come back. He just wants you to know his love afresh again in your lives. Don't stay away from them. Eugene Peterson, who wrote a paraphrase of the whole of Scripture, paraphrases these verses in Zephaniah. And I'm nearly finished. Jerusalem will be told, don't be afraid. Dear Zion, don't despair. Your God is present among you. Where is God? He's here. When Moses says our God is close, he's so close. He's inside us. He's not far from us. Your God is present among you, a strong warrior there to save you. Happy to have you back. He'll calm you with his love and delight you with his songs. So that's my message for you this morning from this Old Testament prophet who lived many thousands of years ago, living among a people very different to Essex people today. A situation quite strange to us. Names we can hardly pronounce, but the situation is the same. Don't drift. Come back to God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning from the Old Testament, from a tiny book written thousands of years ago, you reminded us of your love for us. You've told us anew that you rejoice over us with gladness. You've promised to renew us in your love, that you are pleased with us. Help us, Lord, this morning to hear what you want to say. Help us to respond in the way that we need to respond. And may we be glad that we've been here and thrilled that you've spoken and pleased that you've got a future for us. Lord God, hear our prayer and be with us this day. Amen. Amen. Amen.